Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening today. Hope your day's going well. It is all of January 15th today, so we are at the mid mark of the month. And if you're like me, and I know I am, I cannot believe how fast time goes by. And now we are in our second week of a January Minnesota winter, and we have barely no snow. And I'm thinking to myself, that's going to come one of these days. We can't avoid it, but it's been pretty mild, and it does help my spirits. And let's be honest, it is staying light longer. My grandma used to say, every minute is a chicken step closer to more light. It's just another chicken step, she would say. A little chicken step, more light. So that's going to be the case tonight as well, as we get closer and closer to that time of the year where we get more light. Boy, good analysis, Bill. You did a good job with that. All right, we have a great show. Holly Melton's going to be joining us. Brace yourself for this story. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear coming up. Then Rob Louie's going to join me. He's my Washington, D.C. correspondent. He's got all the news that's fit to talk about, and he'll be coming up at around 3:31. And then my friend Tom Berkowitz, we're going to talk about a very interesting word that I can't even pronounce it. But we're going to talk about the story behind the story in Scripture, which is a fascinating concept. And then Dr. Greg Borgon will be in my studio as well. So it's going to be a great day. Here's a verse I want to share with you. It comes from John chapter 8. It says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Don't you love that? All right, let's take a little break, and then Holly Melton's up next.
Is the 70th year ministry for Faith Radio. From its humble beginnings as a 1,000-watt AM station in Minneapolis to now 16 AM and FM broadcast signals in 9 markets across the upper Midwest and in Hartford, we've experienced God's blessing and provision, with countless lives experiencing life change, hope, and encouragement through the relevant Bible preaching, the family-focused teaching, and interactive talk programming available now 24/7 every day of the year. This is all taking place because of the prayer and financial support of faithful listeners, some having partnered with us for generations. We're profoundly grateful. As an investor in Faith Radio, be encouraged to know that your gifts are bearing fruit and the ministry continues to expand. And radio is an effective way to bring the gospel into the homes and lives of hurting families looking for hope. Now, if you're not yet an investor in what God's doing through Faith Radio, let me encourage you to begin today. Make your gift by calling 877-93-FAITH to join our support team.
Good day, sunshine. Welcome back to the show. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. And I have on my studio line Holly Melton. She works for CRU, which is Campus Crusade, and she has had one of those experiences in evangelism to keep that train going from last hour, where you have those experiences that kind of forever change you. And her experience when she was a junior in college, pretty unusual. I'm going to ask her to share that with us, and she's with us today. Hello, Holly.
Hi.
So glad you could join me today. Thank you for taking time to do this.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I was fascinated when I read your missions trip in 1998 to Ocean City, New Jersey, and when you were a junior in college. So you had an experience that I would just love for you to tell our listeners about.
Sure. Well, I love to tell the story because it's before I had 20 years of vocational ministry experience.
Yeah.
And it was my very first mission trip, you know, and we were out worshiping on the boardwalk, and this girl, very gothic looking, came up to me. I don't know why she chose me. And she said, I'm a vampire. Are you afraid of me? And I just thought, who thinks they're a vampire? You know, this is before Twilight and before Vampire Diaries. So I'm like, who thinks that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she goes, will you talk with a vampire? And I said, sure. So I sit down with her, and it's completely awkward, and she doesn't say anything. And so this is the first time I'm like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do here? She initiated with me. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, like, give me wisdom in this conversation. And I felt like the thought that God gave me is learn about her. Why does she think she's a vampire? So I asked her, and she said, first of all, she said her name was Christy. And then Christy said, well, I have tried to kill myself 3 times, but I haven't been able to die. So I think I'm immortal. And I was like, oh boy. And then she goes, I've actually sacrificed animals and drank their blood because I believe that will atone for my sin. Oof. And I just thought, God, how do I bring up Jesus to her? She sounds so crazy, you know? And so again, I was like, Lord, how do I find a connection with her? And I said, well, what do you think brings you purpose or significance in life? And she said, I have brought 30 women into being vampires with me that had no family and no friends. And I was like, wow, okay, this is something we have in common. We both want to influence women and bring them into community. And again, I'm like, God, how do you bridge into the gospel with someone that, you know, thinks they're immortal and kills animals? And immediately I felt like the Lord said, affirm her partial truth. Now, I was raised in the apologetics era where you're supposed to defend your faith, you know, not affirm things that people are thinking wrong. So it felt really contrary, but I started to, and I said, Christy, I said, in a sense, you're right. We are immortal. There's life after death. And you're right. Sacrifice is necessary. Blood is essential. And you're right that we were made for community. But I don't think you know the whole story. Can I have permission to share with you what I think the whole story is? And she said, yes. And it was in that moment I shared the goriest presentation of the gospel I have never shared before about how Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he was the final sacrifice. And not only can he take away our sins permanently, but we can have a personal relationship with him, God the Father, and a deep relationship with one another. And I thought, oh, for sure, Christy's going to pray to receive Christ right there. But she didn't. And instead, she said, can you give me a ride home? Because the buses have stopped working. So it was already 2 a.m. And I thought, who wants to give a vampire a ride home at 2 a.m? So again, I push through the awkwardness. Yeah. I do invite a guy to come with me. And we start driving on this deserted highway. And what do you know? Christy starts knocking on the back window. I mean, I thought she was crazy. I thought she was on drugs. So I push through the awkwardness again, and I say, Christy, why are you knocking on the window? And here's what she said, Bill. She said, something is knocking at my heart, but I don't know what it is. And I just thought, okay, Lord, I don't know enough of the scripture yet. I didn't know the verses about how he hunger and thirst for us, but I knew Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I said, I believe that's Jesus, and he wants in your life. And so she goes, pull over on the side of the road. I want to accept Jesus in my life right now. What? In case I die before I get home. And I'm like, you didn't even think you could die 2 hours ago, you know? And so we are literally on a highway. We didn't even get to an off-road.
Yeah.
We're on the highway. I get in the back seat. I'm pulling out like a pamphlet to explain the gospel. She goes, no, get to the end. I want Jesus in my life right now. And I'm like, okay. So she prays, and honestly, here I am. You know, it's my first summer mission. I'm doubting it. I'm like, this girl is crazy. She's probably on drugs. So I said, if this is real, Christy, I want you to meet me tomorrow at noon. Because I thought, what vampire is going to be up in the middle of daylight to meet me, right?
Yeah, they sleep at night, the vampires.
Yeah, they're awake at night.
Yeah, awake at night and sleep during the day, right. Yeah.
That's right. So at noon the next day, she starts walking up to me. And it's like that awkward distance. And she starts screaming my name, Holly, Holly. She goes, I want to learn how to share my faith like you shared with me. And I'm like, even Christians don't want to learn how to share their faith. Maybe she's a real one, you know? And so I said, well, let's go out and let's meet somebody and let's learn how to share our faith by practicing it. So we meet this 15-year-old boy named Mark. He's a blonde surfer dude. So you have gothic girl with her black lipstick. You got me and you got this blonde surfer dude. And he says, how do you know you're different when you become a Christian? And I was saved as a little girl. So I'm thinking in my mind, how do I answer this? And she interrupts me and she says, Mark, yesterday I was a vampire. Today I'm a born-again Christian, and boy, do I see the difference. She goes, Mark, did you know we're immortal? that sacrifice is necessary, blood is essential, and we were made for community. And she shared the same gory presentation I shared the day before, and Mark prayed to receive Christ right there. And I thought, she is now a 10-hour-old believer, and she led him to the Lord. And I think, what excuse do we have to say we're not mature enough, we're not old enough in our faith, we don't know enough of the Bible to say we can't share our faith? But Christy was able to do that 10 hours later, you know? And so that experience completely changed my life. I was going to be a lawyer. I was headed out to do law. And I just thought, all I want to do is learn how to share Jesus with others, because I saw how it transformed her. And what she did, Bill, is she went back and started evangelizing with the 30 women in the Coven of Vampires until the head leader said, if you don't stop, I'm going to take your life. And so she became an evangelist, and it was just a transforming story.
Oh, my, Holly, that is riveting. And I want to back up a little bit. And when you're starting to talk to her, how do you know she didn't pick you out to try to evangelize to you to become a vampire?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know.
I mean, maybe you were the target.
Maybe. You know, she seemed a little crazy when she initiated with me, and she was silent. But that's true. I was in the mind frame, God, how do I relate to someone so different than me? And God showed me all of us. He will show all of us how to relate to someone so drastically different than us. That was a big lesson I learned in
yeah.
that experience.
And now she's asking to get a ride home at 2 in the morning. And do you even have a turtleneck on?
Nah. I made her sit in the back seat and I sat in the front. At least did that.
Yeah. And you were smart enough to bring someone with you. And then within a day, she is leading someone else to Christ in her.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. That's fascinating. All right, Holly, I love what we've done so far. I do need to take a very short break. If there's a listener that wants to jump in on this, because this is quite unusual, a great story, you can call 877-933-2484. And maybe you've had an experience like Holly's. All right, we'll take a short break and be back more with Holly Melton in just a minute.
You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Faith Radio is a media outreach ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul, and we exist to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith. Together, we are growing in our faith through shows and programs on Faith Radio. You can find out more about these shows and read relevant articles on topics like relationships, business and finance, biblical studies, and church and culture on our website, myfaithradio.com.
There's so much that all things God given, and they all have been blessed. That's the way God planned it. That's the way God wants it to be.
Welcome back to the show. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Holly Melton is my guest. And from a very humble experience as a junior in college doing evangelism, she caught fire. And you do now a bunch of training and coaching missions teams. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of my passions has been going and helping our teams all over the world. I don't know if listeners know this, but one of the most challenging things for missionaries to stay on the mission field is they have conflicts with one another. The enemy just wants to attack them and their teams. So I go into various countries and help teams over a matter of a few days figure out how to really do biblical conflict resolution so that missionaries will stay on the field and not give up and come home. And so that's a lot of what my specialty has been overseas. And then locally, I help coach missionaries to help them think about how do you reach every people group on a college campus. Because every ethnicity has a different way we can share the gospel and reach out to them in an effective way. So those are two ways I coach people.
So on some of these Christian missionary teams, there's people not getting along?
Yeah, we're all still sinners.
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
It doesn't matter what our job is. Yep.
Yeah.
We're all still sinners.
Yeah, so I get that. All right. So when you try to help others find their calling, when they come to you, what kind of questions are they asking?
Yes. Well, most people are trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I make an impact on my life? And a lot of times their questions are a little smaller, like, What should my major be? What should my career be? What state should I live in? And part of me helping people think about their calling is taking them into the Word and better understanding what God says His will for our life is. I think a lot of people, they say, I want to know God's will for my life, but they don't understand how God explains that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a lot of what I do, is helping them understand biblically what God's will is for our lives.
Do you think God is as interested in showing you His will as much as He is just doing His will in your life?
Exactly. Yes. He wants us to be a part of His will as well as Him working in us.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think you're working on a 10-week devotional on God's will. I do want some of the highlights from that right now.
Yes. So I have studied every verse on God's will in the Bible to really be able to articulate to people what it is. And really, I've seen it ultimately as a threefold thing. God's will is He wants us to grow in our sanctification. You think about what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 8. The first, it says very clearly, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. And sanctification just means becoming more like Jesus. So ultimately, when I talk to people, I say, okay, what decision's going to help you grow more in your character? What's going to help you grow more in obedience to the Lord? That would be God's will for you. And then the second area is, it's very clear that God's will for us is to engage in the Great Commission. You think about what Jesus said in John 4:32 about His food was to do the will of Him, the will of God, who sent me to accomplish His work. And He goes on and talks about how the harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. And one thing that's really stuck out to me in this study is we sometimes take that verse, oh, pray for workers of the harvest, and we think to send people globally as missionaries. But what I've come to see it as is, we as believers, God is calling all of us to be sent ones. And that prayer is for us to realize, how is God sending me where I currently live? Where who are my neighbors? Who are my coworkers? Who are the people I hang out with? That we are all called to be sent ones, and that's how the Great Commission is going to be filled. And then finally, the third main area of God's will is, He says in Ephesians 5:17, He says, therefore, don't be foolish. And I don't think any of us want to be foolish. And it says, understand what the will of the Lord is. And it says, don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And so kind of the culmination of this is, if we understand as followers of Jesus how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, not only will we grow in our sanctification on this side of heaven and become more like Jesus, we're going to be empowered by the Spirit to have effective spiritual conversations with others as sent ones. So overall, God's will for us is to be filled with the Spirit so we could be effective sent ones and continue to grow in our character and sanctification. That's kind of the thesis of God's will for us in the Bible.
I love it. Now, Holly, I get the feeling you've got some frequent flyer miles going in your account, right?
Yes.
So were you living in East Asia for a while?
I have, yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. It was a phenomenal experience, because being an American, East Asians are very intrigued in wanting to learn English and the American life. And so it's a very fruitful place for Americans to go to engage others with the gospel. So it was a privilege to be there.
What did you learn about sharing your faith in a culture like that, that you could bring back to America with and be better equipped?
I think one thing I learned is, as I was reading the Bible there and being in a culture different than mine, we can always ask God to reveal to us how to share the gospel to the people around us in different cultures, because obviously America has so many cultures around us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was there, I was praying and I was like, God, how do I really reach out to this culture? Well, this is East Asia is more of a shame-based culture, and not necessarily about sin, but about shame. And so God revealed to me this verse in the Bible that talks about how Jesus takes our shame on the cross. I had never seen that. That never impacted me, because I'm not from a shame-based culture. But as soon as I started sharing how Jesus takes away our shame, I saw more people transformed with the gospel. And so what was neat was me coming back here saying, all right, how do I observe and learn and even read the Bible differently about the gospel when I think about different cultures around me, to have it be more powerful to the people around me? So that was a big takeaway.
I love it. You authored a book called Follow My Lead, Responding to God's Voice in Everyday Encounters. I love the title, just so you know. And responding to God's voice in everyday encounters, what is that like? How do you experience that?
Yeah, so for me, I mean, having been trained in evangelism, I felt like there was a big component missing, that we can learn all the apologetics, we can learn memorize Bible verses, but the Holy Spirit is the one. His role is to unveil people's eyes. He's the one that pursues people's hearts, and he's the one that's going to help me know what to ask or say or do with a person to help them be curious about the gospel or want to understand the gospel. And so what I started to do was invite the Holy Spirit into my conversations. Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? And as soon as I started doing that, I saw the craziest conversations. I saw him use me with people I never thought I could confidently share the gospel with. And so it was way different than just being in an evangelism training and memorizing things. It was really inviting God into the conversation and him leading me. And he always has ever since I started doing that.
Yeah. Holly, we just have a couple of minutes left, but your first story was so amazing. You must have another one, maybe not as spectacular as the vampire girl, but someone else that you encountered that just was a really unusual experience for you.
Yeah, I do. I was in Santa Monica, which, you know, has all different types of people in California. And there was a lady at the hotel we were staying at who came out screaming one night, help me, help me. I have a curse put on me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what is this lady talking about? So I went over to listen to her, and she had fired an employee. And the employee said that she was a witch and had put a curse on this woman. And I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure how to counsel her. And immediately the Holy Spirit put in my mind 1 John 4:4, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And I said, if you have Jesus in you, you will not have to worry about curses in your life because Jesus will protect you. Have you accepted Jesus in your life? And she said, yes, but I wasn't quite sure. So again, I'm like, well, God, how do I continue to talk to her? And he led me to Ephesians 6 on the armor of God. I've never shared the gospel through the armor of God, but as I started reading it to her and talking to her about how to put on the armor of God, she started to hear the gospel. And she stops me and she goes, I need to confess something to you. I said, what? She goes, well, I used to be a porn star. And now she's in her 50s. She's definitely not a porn star anymore. She goes, but I was in Hollywood as a porn star. But she goes, now I'm a madam. I'm like, okay, what do you mean by you're a madam? She goes, I actually oversee thousands of prostitutes online from my hotel room. And this is what I do. How could God forgive me? And I mean, when I woke up that morning, I would have never thought, oh, I'm going to get to share the gospel with a madam who oversees all these prostitutes.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so she ends up that night really praying and receiving Christ. And so I did the same thing I did with the vampire girl, Christy, and I said, well, meet me tomorrow. And this is a real decision. Well, the next day, she said, I stayed up all night to watch Christian TV. And, and she goes, Holly, but here's the crazy thing. She goes, at 2 in the morning, something about 2 in the morning, right? God working. She goes, all of my women started calling me because the entire network was down. It's like God stopped the internet that night, and none of her women had worked. Thousands of women across. Don't you wish you would do that for all
prostitutes? Holly, what a great story. I'm sorry I'm out of time, but I'll have you back because you're a blast. Have a great weekend. Holly Melton has been my guest. We'll take a very short break and be back with more.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Network, your home for relevant Bible preaching, family-focused teaching, and interactive talk shows and topics relating to your everyday life. We exist to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. We hope that you've been encouraged as you've listened and that you've found helpful resources through interviews, articles on our website, and more. To learn more, visit MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com.
Back to the show. It's 32 minutes after the hour, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today. I hope your day is going well, and I hope you are having I hope you have a lot of positivity in your life. Where did I learn that word? Boy, I don't know. I have a little bit of a tendency of being a little melancholy at times. I sometimes look through things a little bit on the skeptical side, just so you know, but I would love to have more of that positivity.
Bill Arnold, skeptical? I don't believe it.
Really? Yeah, well, that'd be me. But anyway, I think it's, I'm focusing on many, many positive things. Yeah, because when I think of what's going on in Washington, D.C., I don't think a lot of positive things. I think there's a lot of antagonism. There's a lot of, that's a mean town. So that's why I'm always glad that I can call Rob Bluey, or Rob Bluey will call me, and we can talk about what's going on in that city because he lives there and works there. He is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal and a regular guest of the show. Hello, Rob.
Hello. It's good to be with you, Bill.
Thank you so much. You just got done interviewing Senator Mike Braun from Indiana. How'd that go?
I sure did. Just came from his office a few moments ago. Went very well. He takes an unusual path to get to Washington, D.C. as a working in the private sector and as a businessman. So he is naturally approaching the issues that Washington confronts in a different way. And the one thing that stands out in my mind is the pace at which Washington moves, which he finds very slow. And would like to certainly get to work on a number of the pressing issues that the voters sent him to Washington to fix.
Yeah. Was it of his opinion that the shutdown has weeks to go or months to go?
He's generally sounded optimistic that there would be resolution in the short term. So I think I share that view. There seems to be an incentive among, if not the leadership in Congress, the rank and file to wrap things up. I think that the pressure that they're starting to feel, particularly whether if you're a Democrat who comes from a conservative leaning area. So if you're Joe Manchin in West Virginia, or you're a newly elected freshman from South Carolina or Utah or Virginia someplace, and particularly if you have federal workers in your district, you're probably feeling some more heat to get things done. And so that's where I think you'll probably see some of the movement come in the next couple of weeks. And then, Bill, I think the other thing is, does President Trump really want to go before the nation on January 29th during the State of the Union with this hanging over his head?
I don't think so.
Maybe there's a strategy behind that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But they are certainly in a position, President Trump and Nancy Pelosi, where neither can lose and neither will give up.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what makes this, this so unpredictable to a certain extent, because there's a lot at stake for both of them, not to mention the president's reelection in 2020. One thing that's become clear as you look at polling is that he has united Republicans around this issue of border security. And more Americans generally have tuned in, I think, because the president has made this standoff really the border wall, the central part of it. Obviously, there's other pieces that go into border security, and so, Bill, I have a feeling here that at some point one of them is going to have to break. I asked Senator Braun during our interview today, as a businessman who obviously had his fair share of negotiations over the years, what he thought of this, and he said, negotiations are usually much more nuanced than this one is. This one's had pretty stark lines drawn on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the most amount of pressure in this shutdown? Obviously, what makes the news is the long lines of TSA at the airport, garbage being dumped. What do you consider to be the most pressurized area with government workers in a shutdown?
I would say probably that's interesting. I mean, the Homeland Security area is probably the one that has so much at stake, because if you have a mistake or an error, it could have significant ramifications.
No kidding.
If you have trash piling up in a national park, I mean, somebody can always go and clean it up. And as our own Christian radio station here in Washington, D.C. Did last Friday, they organized a cleanup of the National Mall. So, you know, there's always those civic responsibilities that volunteers can take up. And I think when it comes to protecting our border, when it comes to protecting our airports, the Coast Guard and others who are impacted by this, those are probably the areas that would be the most impacted. And I think it not necessarily because there aren't the necessary people on the job,
mm-hmm.
but what's the morale of the people who are showing up to work now for about 3 weeks knowing that they're not going to get a paycheck. They will get paid eventually, unless if you're a full-time worker. I mean, in every shutdown, you've always gotten back pay. But still, I mean, it creates some challenges, I'm sure, with people paying mortgages and some of the other bills.
Doesn't that also suggest that this is a slice of American life that many go through? And let's not over-dramatize. I want to be very sensitive to people who are, you know, stuck in the situation where government workers who might not be getting a check. But this happens to a lot of people, doesn't it?
Oh, people, yeah. I mean, it's probably not as pronounced right now because of the success of the economy, but certainly in an economic downturn, people experience layoffs. They lose their job. They are living paycheck to paycheck, and they don't have some of the things, you know, that you might be seeing now. I mean, I know that if you go on to your bank's website, chances are there's a banner there to help people who are impacted by the shutdown, and I hope those who are impacted will reach out and ask for help from those organizations and institutions that are offering it, because certainly, you know, people find themselves in hard times all the time, and we can do our best to save up for a rainy day and follow the advice of those financial advisors. But, you know, not everybody is afforded that luxury. So it is challenging, Bill, and that's why I think, you know, despite where you fall on the whole issue of the shutdown, I mean, we should keep our prayers with those people who are impacted on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's the sensible Rob Bluey I know and love.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Yeah. when you consider Mike Braun, though, who is a freshman senator, and then you take some of the Democratic freshman senators, they feel a little frustrated by arriving in Washington and having so much paralysis going on.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you think about it. You spend all this time, maybe up to 2 years, running for office. You have an ambitious agenda that you want to embark on. And what do you find yourself in, if not a situation where on the day that you're sworn in, you're confronted with questions about the shutdown? And I don't necessarily know that that's how this new Democratic House majority envisioned it starting out. I know that it's certainly taken media attention away from other initiatives that they'd like to do in this first period. As we've talked about before, you know, the first 100 days of a new president's term or a new Congress is often the most productive. So being caught up in the shutdown drama is certainly not helpful from that regard. But I will say this, the one thing that stands out from the Mike Braun interview is that he said, you know, he's not going to let this deter him from the things that the voters of Indiana elected him to do. They expect him to come with healthcare solutions. He's done that in the private sector, and he's going to continue to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's already worked with Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, to introduce a no-budget, no-pay bill, meaning if the Congress didn't pass a budget, the lawmakers wouldn't get paid. He's promised the voters that he would not take a pension, and yet he found out when he arrived in Washington he has to take a pension. He wants to get that changed. So I think that there are some things that will go on, and as we see today on Capitol Hill, of course, the attorney general nominee is facing a grilling, and tomorrow the EPA administrator will face his own grilling, and those things will continue to happen. Just some of the other things that maybe go into the legislative process will be delayed.
Mm-hmm. When I'm listening to some of the comments being made by some of the freshmen people that are just showing up in Washington, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she talks about some of the programs she would like to see, and medical, free education, the green agenda, climate change. It only seems to cost about $32 trillion. And
right. There
isn't anybody saying, oh, boy, that's sure outrageous on the left. But we're trying to get $5 billion to build a wall, and it's shutting the government down.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct on that. I don't think money is really the issue here.
I don't think
and
it
President
is either.
Trump has said, hey, look, this is just simply because it's me who's in office. And that's, if you look back at the previous votes of people like Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, and a lot of Democrats who are serving in the House, they certainly supported a border wall in the past. And even some have come out and acknowledged that a physical barrier is an important deterrent when it comes to illegal immigration. You've seen the effects in places like Yuma, Arizona, and San Diego, California. So money is really not the issue here. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other Democrats have proposed these trillion-dollar programs, whether it is Medicare for All or the Green New Deal, and really have not explained how exactly they were going to pay for them. Yet they are going to probably, take their opportunity here now in the Congress to have hearings and maybe even bring a bill to the floor that they send over to the Senate. I don't think it's going anywhere because of Republican control. But, Bill, it's interesting times in which we live, and this is what, as President Trump just said over the weekend, elections have consequences, and they certainly do when it comes to Congress as well.
Mm-hmm. As I was thinking about the criticism that the president always seems to get, even when he makes a comment which involves a little hyperbole about the Clemson's fast food feast at the White House, I did find that kind of interesting. Where they're stacking up the hamburgers, and someone said, well, yeah, it wouldn't stack up to a mile.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Well, I think he's joking.
But, Bill, isn't this the thing? We are now in a situation, and I thought the same thing, the fact that there were – that I opened the Washington Post today, and I see that that's a story.
Yeah.
I think it was on the front page of the style section, too, so it wasn't inconsequential either, that that the food that they're serving to the Clemson Tigers is making waves. But what Melania Trump wears on a trip, you know, I mean, you name it. I mean, every little detail is nitpicked to the point where I think sometimes Americans have sympathy for when President Trump speaks about fake news and his concerns about the news media. I think sometimes he takes it too far, and some of the rhetoric that we see on Twitter probably could be spared. But at the end of the day, you have to sometimes question the tactics these journalists are using, and wonder whether or not that they do take it too far.
Yeah, I do question them, and I do. It does lead me to pray for the nation's leaders. And I also pray for Rob Bluey, who is in the midst of it all. So I'm going to take a little break when I come back. More with Rob Bluey. He's editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. You can go to his website, which is dailysignal.com. You can see all kinds of outstanding stories and articles written. We'll be back in just a minute with Rob Bluey. It is 46 minutes after the hour. Rob Bluey is my guest, editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal. And, Rob, this is a little bit of a touchy topic, but we have a lot of listeners in Iowa, and Steve King, Representative Steve King, got stripped of committee assignment over some comments he made. Let's talk in Washington about that.
Sure. Well, and the House just voted today, Bill. I'm not sure you saw the latest because it just happened. The vote was 424-1 to rebuke Congressman King for those comments that he made in the New York Times interview. King actually voted for the measure. So basically, the resolution that the House voted on denounced white supremacists and white nationalist movements. And even some House Democrats felt that it didn't go far enough, and they're pushing for a censure resolution now. Of course, Republicans took their own action in stripping Congressman King of those committee assignments, and we'll see what goes from here. I mean, the House has clearly spoken. I think that Congressman King has made clear that the comments that that the New York Times reported were taken out of context, and he has said that he does not believe in those views, has condemned those views, and so you have a situation here where the two sides really are at odds, I think that Democrats would like to see, and probably some Republicans would like to see, Congressman King leave office. He doesn't appear to be willing to do that, and so it's a story that we'll be closely following in terms of next step. And of course, Congressman King is somebody who's been a longtime person in Washington. I remember covering him way back to when I was a reporter at Human Events. And he made his name back then and continues today on the issue of immigration. So certainly front and center when it comes to an issue like that.
Yeah. A writer that that was on the Daily Signal, was it Lathan Watts? Do I have his name correct?
Yes.
Yes. And he was writing a story on the religious testing that's going on. And would you talk about that? Because I find this very interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we are in a situation. In fact, I'm very excited that tomorrow we're going to be welcoming the acting Attorney General, Matt Whitaker, to the Heritage Foundation. We'll be covering this on the Daily Signal to talk about the 25th anniversary of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which Congress passed almost unanimously a generation ago at a time when we didn't have some of the religious tests that we face today. Bill, I mean, you look at throughout our society, and it seems like the attitudes have changed so much when it comes to religion. You had a time in 1997 when Bill Clinton was praising, the first liberty, the first freedom, religious freedom. And today it seems that no matter what type of industry you're in, you're encountering these tests of your beliefs. And we see it whether you're in these situations where you're being confronted on LGBT type of issues or just in general. I recently sat down with the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, and asked him about a case in which involved a nursing home that was receiving some HUD funding that wouldn't allow people to say Merry Christmas. I mean, it's like, why are you kidding me? And so, Bill, a number of issues here at play, and I hope it's one of those things where common sense at the end of the day will rule out.
Mm-hmm. As we are getting increasingly more anxious for some resolution in the government with some of these issues, and I hate to go back to this wall issue, but I've been thinking about what person in their real life doesn't appreciate protection for their loved ones. And
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got two boys and you lock your house at night and you want to protect them always. And I want to be a Christian nation that brings and allows immigrants, especially ones who are fleeing persecution, open arms. Is it immoral the way I've heard it said that we make them come through a legal process?
I don't think it is immoral to have a fence or a wall or some sort of a physical barrier, because at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct. There are still ways for people to apply for asylum if they're finding themselves in a situation in another country where they need to escape that persecution. So as long as those channels are still open, and let's face it, you don't have to make the trek all the way to the border in Texas or California to do that. I mean, you can go to the consulate or the embassy and make those claims in your own country. So there are other alternatives than what we've seen recently displayed with these convoys and everything else that's generating the headlines here in our country. At the same time, I think that there are arguments to be made about we are a compassionate nation. We are a nation of immigrants. Look, my own family came from Eastern Europe and at the turn of the last century, and so I'm very grateful that I'm able to live in a free and prosperous country. And I think at the end of the day, the United States continues to be that beacon across the globe where people want to be, and that's why we see this high demand of people who are wanting to come to live in our country. And we should be proud of that, but we should do so in a legal way that respects the rule of law.
Mm-hmm. As a consumer of news, and I know that the Daily Signal does such a great job and operates with such great integrity, when you hear stories, when there was, for example, the confrontation and the meeting between President Trump and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and the president said, I'm not willing to if I'm not getting money for the wall, I think we can stop this discussion. And Schumer said that he slammed his fist on the table and threw a tantrum. And the president said, I didn't slam my fist on the table and I didn't throw a tantrum. How do we as news consumers hear these stories, and who do we believe and who do we not believe?
Right. I mean, look, as somebody who's read President Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, certainly he has a certain negotiating style that he likes. And whether or not he did that, it's going to be up to the people in the room. And you it's hard to decipher sometimes who's telling the truth, even about something as minor as that. Did he slam his hand or not?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the big question of, whose proposal is being presented fairly or unfairly, I mean, that's a whole more complicated question. So I think one of the best ways, though, is to be a consumer of more than one news site. So, I mean, obviously, hopefully, just in this conversation, they're hearing from somebody from Faith Radio and the Daily Signal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would hope that your listeners could find valuable information on other news sites. There are new resources that others in the free market are trying to develop. One that comes to mind is a site called NewsGuard. And NewsGuard is an app, an extension that you can install on your web browser. It's working with places like Facebook and other social media companies to try to integrate. And it'll give you like a nutrition-style label so you'll understand the source of information that you're reading from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's through innovative things like this, not through Facebook changing its algorithm to punish all publishers, that hopefully will create a better and more informed society. But it really does come down to the individual, and the individual has to, at the end of the day, take that personal responsibility in terms of how they're consuming news and information. And let me just say, they're doing a good job already by tuning into Faith Radio, because it's a reputable outlet, and you do tremendous work, Bill, and I commend you and your staff every day for upholding that highest quality in terms of the guests that you bring on and the news that you share.
I appreciate you saying all that, Rob. I really do. It's awfully nice of you, and you are such a faithful, wise, smart guest, and I know listeners love you, so thank you.
Well, thank you. And look, that's the reason that we want to work with you, because we find that hopefully at the end of the day we can create a society that hopefully has solid news and information and make the right decision when it comes to things how they lead their lives.
Yeah, amen to that. Rob, thanks so much for doing the show. I will talk to you again next week.
It's great to talk to you, Bill. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks so much. Rob Bluey has been my guest, editor-in-chief for the Daily Signal. That's dailysignal.com. We will take a short break and be back.
Faith Radio is a media ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul. Our mission is to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. Tune in to Faith Radio to hear relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching, as well as interactive live talk programming. We love to hear from you, our listeners. Call into a live show or share how Faith Radio has impacted your life by calling the Faith Line at 877-93-FAITH.
Thanks to Rob Bluey and Holly Melton. What a great hour it was. If you missed any of it, you may want to go back to myfaithradio.com. Check out the Afternoons with Bill Arnold show page, and you can listen from the beginning. We had some good stuff going on in this hour. Coming up next hour, Tom Berkowitz is going to be with me, and we're going to be talking about a word I don't know what it means. So there's a cliffhanger for you. And then Dr. Greg Borgon will be joining me as well, and we will be discussing spiritual warfare. Greg is a professor and teacher and educator, and he may be one of my most prepared guests ever that comes into the studio. So you're going to get out a notepad and a pen and learn lots of good stuff. Spiritual warfare is an issue that is difficult to talk about, but Greg will talk about it well. That's all ahead on the next hour. Thank you so much for listening. We will take a short break and be back with hour two in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. There are things you can do as a parent to help bring your family closer to God and each other. Here's some insights from Dr. Rich Melheim, author of the book, Holding Your Family Together.
It starts with sharing your highs and lows at the end of the day. It's a very simple thing you can do in a few minutes. If you don't know your child's highs, you don't know them. If you don't know their lows, you don't know them. And if they don't know their own highs and lows, really they don't know themselves. If we want to raise an empathetic, reflective generation with perspective and godly values, I think we need to stop, turn off the tech, turn off the cell phone and everything else, and check in with your highs and lows. The scriptures tell us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And if you're not doing that in your own family, I don't think you really need to do the world until you make sure you take care of the flock that is in your charge.
You can listen to and share full interviews with Dr. Rich Melheim at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.